It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
It's a busy time to be a sports fan in Indiana. Welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm Will Hampton. This show underwritten by AAA Roofing. They have jobs. Get a hold of them now at AAARoofingCompany.com. And maybe you can have a new career with AAA. Well, the Colts did exactly what we talked about last week on this show. We said they might select Quentin Nelson, the guard out of Notre Dame, and that's exactly what happened when the draft took place. It just kind of fell that the big, big guy from Notre Dame was available, so Chris Ballard picked him, and now he is an Indianapolis Colt. Overall, they had a record 11 draft picks during the NFL draft. They got some help on the offensive line, the defensive line, a couple of running backs, a wide receiver. Overall, I think it was a very good draft, and Chris Ballard got some help for the Indianapolis Colts. The Pacers have bowed out. They lose in 7 to the Cavs. Really, I think the Pacers were a better team, but LeBron James is simply the best player, the most dominant player right now in the NBA. One player can take over a basketball game. It happens. We saw it happen. LeBron James, he did that. I do not believe in all the conspiracy theories that the NBA wanted LeBron to move on. And if you truly believe that, you probably should never buy a ticket. You probably should never buy a hat, a poster. Never, if you really believe that. LeBron beat the Pacers, period. Next year, the Pacers will get theirs. I think they will. IU fans are really happy. They're feeling real good. Mr. Basketball, Romeo Langford, the young basketball player out of New Albany, has chose to stay home. He'll be an Indiana Hoosier. So welcome, Romeo Langford, to Bloomington. And now let's switch our attention to automobile racing. It's May, which brings us back to Indy. Of course, the Grand Prix is May 12th, and then the 102nd running of the Indianapolis 500 is May 27th. It's my pleasure to welcome the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Doug Bowles. Doug, thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Happy to do it. It's that time of year where we get to talk about the Speedway, which is awesome.
Isn't it great? There is nothing better. You and I both share a passion for that place over there at 16th in Georgetown. There is something, you know, here on this show, we talk a lot about faith and leadership, and it's just a remarkable place, and every time you set foot on the grounds, you kind of can feel the spirit of Indianapolis, of the history. And I know you're a lucky one. You get to set foot on those grounds every day. But can you even put your finger on what it means for Indianapolis in the month of May?
You know, it's pretty amazing, 109 years of history that the Speedway has in this community, and getting ready to have our 102nd running of the Indianapolis 500, this May. It really is more than a race. And when you talk to the fans that come here all the time, even people in this community that don't attend the Indy 500, what they love about it is that it is such a Hoosier tradition, and it means more than just the cars on the track. It means summer's here for Indianapolis. It means that the Hoosier State is on an international stage the end of month of May, where everybody's eyes are on our state, and it reminds us of those, you know, the things that really that we hold so dear in the Midwest, and that is our values, the fact that we really pay tribute to and appreciate what men and women of the service branches have done to keep us free, you know, celebrating Memorial Day weekend. It's just really hard to explain the feeling you get here, but the biggest takeaway for me is the fact that it is just so much more than a race. It is like a massive family reunion that means so much to so many people.
Well, this year, as far as the race goes, right now, last I heard, 35 entries. So there will be bumping. There will be a race for 33. Do you anticipate that growing at all, or is 35 where it is, or could it get up 36, 37? What do you think?
Well, I think there's an outside chance you could add a car or so, but the fact that we're over 33 and that we're actually going to have bumping for the field, where in the past we've just been having bumping to get into that fast nine group that yeah, qualifies for the top three rows on the second day of qualifying. So we're going to have bumping in two ways on that first qualifying day, bumping to get in the fast nine and into the field. So that's an exciting point for us. Although the last few years we've gotten used to just 33, so the bummer of having 35 cars, we're going to have to send a couple people home, and that's no fun, but that is the history of the sport and part of it, and that's what makes it so exciting. So we're looking forward to that. Plus, we've got the brand new body work this year, which the cars look beautiful. The open test was fantastic here. The cars look great. The drivers seem to think they're going to race really well in addition. So those are the two big things I can't wait for. But maybe 36 might be our top, but having 35 is fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. And I think a lot of people, the historians, the people that love the bumping. But you guys have done so many neat things the last several years with trying to create interest or trying to keep people. Because, you know, as you know, I mean, times have changed. There's a probably shorter attention span than we've ever had in our life, probably because of Twitter, which you're a big Twitter guy. What's your Twitter handle again?
It's JDouglas4.
And there's an attention span issue where people expect things to change from, you know, one day to the next, or not even that, maybe 1 second to the next. And you guys have had to been creative, and you have been. Do you kind of enjoy where the month is now, where this race is, as far as what you've had to do to tweak and, you know, adjust here and there?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm at my core, I'm a traditionalist, right? So yeah. Every change comes with a little bit of pain, right? Because you remember what the Speedway was about when you grew up, when it was 30 days in May and it was 2 weekends of qualifying and you know, all those things. The reality of it is the world has changed. There's a lot more things for people to do. The sport has changed, and you have to really take a lot of that stuff into account. And you try and make changes that are going to make the event better, but you have to make those changes through the lens of protecting that history and tradition and the heritage that makes us so special. So every change we make, you know, you have to test it against that background of what makes the place special, and make sure that as we're making those changes, we're not offending what really is central to our DNA, and that's the challenge. But we've had fun with the music. You know, moving Carb Day from Thursday to Friday several years ago makes the weekend better. Yeah. You have three, it gives people a reason to come in on Thursday night, be there for Carb Day, the music. The Legends Day concert has been a lot of fun on Saturday. And then even the new Snake Pit, although we're in year number 8 of that this year, the new Snake Pit has become a huge hit with young adults under the age of 30. So some of those things are definitely changes, and especially for a traditionalist can sometimes feel weird, but it's definitely helped the event.
Well, the traditionalists still have what they want most. There's still fast cars. There's still competition for the pole, and of course there's competition on race day, and those things will never go away. I mean, the competition and the fast race cars, that's Indianapolis, isn't it?
It is Indianapolis, and really the other things that I think are really important, and I talk to people about this all the time. I mean, we can all agree on a handful of things that are absolutely essential to the DNA of the Indianapolis 500. So it's 33 cars, it's Memorial Day Sunday, it's 500 miles, a yard of brick, bottle of milk, the 30 minutes of pre-race, the way the pre-race feels as you lead into it, it's singing Back Home Again in Indiana. You know, those are the things that you absolutely have to protect with all of your might. And then the rest of the stuff, you begin to get further and further away from the center of our DNA, and you can begin to change those and adjust those, because what we don't want to do is we don't want the sport to not attract that next generation. So it means we have to tweak it a little bit to make sure that in 50 years from now and 100 years from now, they're talking about celebrating 150th and a 200th Indy 500 and not looking back in the history books and going, well, those guys just let the event die because they didn't change. So that's really the challenge we have.
Talking with Doug Bowles from Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and one of the things that's really different is the Grand Prix, and that's going to be May 12th, and you know, some people years ago would have said, oh, a second race in the month of May, how could that be? How could that possibly happen? But this thing is kind of neat, and you're right about a different kind of race fan likes this kind of racing in Indianapolis, don't they?
Yeah, and one of the reasons, when we announced it, we knew that it would be a little difficult for traditionalists because it is another race in the month of May, but the IndyCar Series, our product, the Indianapolis, Central Indiana's product that we export around the country when IndyCar goes and races in other places, over two-thirds of the races are on a street circuit or a road racing circuit. So for this market to get an opportunity to see IndyCar going in an opposite direction with different bodywork, starting, stopping, changing gears, left and right corners, we felt like it was a great way to reintroduce this market to what a lot of people think of as IndyCar, not just the 500.
Yeah.
And it allowed us to kick the opening weekend off with a points-paying, really important, mean-something weekend instead of just a practice weekend that didn't really have any substantial impact on the overall championship or, frankly, even the overall Indianapolis 500. So it's been a great way for us to kick the month off. The drivers love the facility. We changed the road course to make sure that it was competitive and that the drivers found it challenging before we announced the Grand Prix when we first started in 2014. I think it's been very successful. Like I said, the drivers love being here, and our fans, it's a different way to experience the Speedway. In fact, I tell folks, if I'm you, I'm not buying a grandstand ticket. I'm buying a GA ticket, and I'm walking around the racetrack and sitting in the spectator mounds and having an opportunity to see cars in various states of acceleration and braking and left and right cornering.
Yeah, there's still plenty of opportunities for tickets, and the schedule is out. People can go to your guys' website. But just off the top of your head, what are some, if you were just kind of a novice fan, that it's a must-see, things you should come to the track for in May are, what are those?
Well, obviously it's the 500 and the Grand Prix are the two big things. But I think the best-kept secret in the month of May right now is the Monday practice following qualifying weekend. So a few years ago, we added the Monday practice following qualifying weekend so that the 33 cars and drivers that are competing in the 500 have an opportunity to run for 4 or 5 hours in a pack, get a sense for why, you know, how they run together. I think that's really helped in our competition on race day, because they've actually had an opportunity to run in those packs and get race day conditions. And it feels like a race. There's so many cars on the track at the same time, and they're running in big packs together. That, to me, other than race day, is the most exciting day of the month. I love carb day, because yeah, it is that last hour of practice beforehand. But it's just an hour of practice, and, you know, sometimes teams just do an install check, make sure everything's okay, and park the car. Well, that Monday after qualifying is just such an exciting day, and if I were telling people that the day that I would take off work, that's the day I'd take off work.
There you go. Play hooky on the Monday after qualifying. Hey, real quickly, absolutely, you and I have talked about the spirituality of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You've had moments where you're the only one out there on the track, you know, and it's dark, and it's just you. You've taken walks, you've told me before. There's something about the place that there is a spiritual connection, I think. Don't you? Do you agree?
You know, it's strange as it is, it does have that living, breathing feel when you're around it, even in the day. At night, it's even more so, right? And when you're here in a moment when there's nobody else in this facility and I'm sitting on the yard of bricks just, you know, giving thanks for the job that I have and the opportunity to, you know, to help lead the organization, it does feel very real. It doesn't just feel like a physical asset. There's something pretty special about it. And I think, especially when we all think about our faith and where we are in our belief, you know, for me, having this job is—I couldn't explain to you how I got it, other than it's a God thing. And when you really think of it through that aspect, it makes it even more powerful when you're here and you think about what this facility means to this community and to this state, and the men and women who have literally given it all to try and compete here and win here and represent what this brand means. It does have its own personality for sure.
Yeah, and I know you guys keep faith as an important part of the of the series of racing series, and you have chaplains, and you have the priests that are involved. And on race day, you can go to mass if you're there, if you're in the infield as part of like when I was in the media. Things like that are important to the series and to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, aren't they?
Absolutely. And so I'm on the board of the IndyCar Ministry, which is full-time on the road every IndyCar race. So they're doing they've got a priest that goes and a minister, so they'll do a Catholic service and a straight up Christian service that takes place, you know, every place where we go. So it is an important piece of it. Drivers participate and others participate in those, and it's one of those things that you know, I think is very important for us to do, and maybe it's a little bit unique for our organization the way that it moves forward. And then, you know, Allison Melanchthon, who's sort of my partner in crime here at the Speedway, she and I, a couple of years ago, with a handful of others in the organization, we take Wednesdays and typically go to the top of the pagoda and just spend a little bit of time in prayer, giving thanks for where we are, but just praying for the fans and the participants and just our leadership of the organization to make sure that we are, you know, leading in a way that's glorifying and basically also saying, hey, you know, Lord, help guide our feet in a way that we can use this position we've been put in to draw others to got us to you. So it is extremely important in a lot of aspects.
I know they did a, was it last year or the year before where they did the article like a your day in the life of Doug Bowles? Was that last year or the year before?
Yeah, it was last year, and I think they thought it would be, you know, a pretty simple day. And on my days in May start around 5 o'clock in the morning, and they don't end until oftentimes after midnight. And in fact, the Star reporter that was with me started about 30 minutes after I did and ended about an hour and a half before I quit. But he started with a Monday morning meeting I have every Monday with a good friend of mine who's also our assistant pastor of the church where we go. And we start out at Starbucks every Monday morning just praying for each other, not just me, but I'm praying for him and talking through, you know, challenges that we have as dads and as husbands and leaders in our community. And so Zach with the Star actually started out with us and then sort of ended the day there. So it was fun to do that and have an opportunity to see that piece of my life in that article.
Well, a lot of people are kind of afraid to talk about that for some reason. And I know Catholics, we have a tendency to have a problem with evangelization sometimes. But with your faith, it is strong. And as far as the opportunity to share and to talk, that's an important part of your day, isn't it?
It is, and I'm not unlike what you just characterized as Catholics. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it is sometimes hard for us to have that conversation with somebody about our faith, and you know, oftentimes it's a lot easier when somebody asks you, right? And then you feel like the door's open, and you know, we are called to go out and build the kingdom, and oftentimes it is hard for us. So I'm not any different than everyone else. It's really hard to sometimes in just normal conversation bring that up, but certainly when you have an opportunity, when somebody writes an article about you and it's in there, that's led to a lot of conversations over the last year that probably I wouldn't have had. So maybe that was God's way of saying, okay, Doug, you don't speak up enough, so I'm going to speak up for you through this article and cause you to have those conversations. And, you know, I get it, and I think we all get it. And we live in a world, too, where we don't want to offend anybody, so oftentimes we put our faith in our back pocket because we're afraid to offend.
Yeah. Well, Doug, thank you for what you're doing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Have a great month of May. And I know when it's all said and done and the milk is on the ground and on the head and in a little bit in the mouth and in the stomach, you'll sit back and reflect. And when you say it's been a successful Indianapolis in the month of May, what is that to you? What is success?
Well, for us, is, you know, we want to make sure that we get 500 miles in. We can't control the weather, but we certainly want to do that. And the biggest challenge, really, is working with public law enforcement folks. So they do an outstanding job for us. They're just making sure we get people in and out safely, try and make sure we don't have any big traffic issues, and we get people parked. And in 2013, you know, we had a little bit of a gate problem backing people up, so we want to make sure we get people through. But more and more in this society, we have to make sure we are getting people through and getting them through safely, so that slows things down. So we just, you know, for me, if I can get people in and out and have a safe day, especially with respect to the fans that are here, then it's pretty much a successful day.
All right. Well, Doug, thank you, and good luck. Enjoy yourself. Have a little fun, too, right?
Oh, I've never had a day yet in my 8 years at Speedway that wasn't fun, so I give thanks every day, even for the challenges. It's the governor and I argued last year over who had the best job in the state, and I think by far I do.
Yep, I think you do too. Doug Bowles, thank you.
Thank you.
That is Doug Bowles, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're going to take a break. Catholic Sports Weekly continues after this.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof, your building, and your investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. Again, thanks to Doug Bowles from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for joining us in the first segment. Now an old friend, as we welcome Todd Licklider, now the coach, assistant coach at the University of Evansville, our basketball analyst, and now you've got a new job. Coach, congratulations, and it's great to see you back on the court.
Will, thank you. It's great to be back. I tell you, I'm very thankful for the position with the Celtics. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. But it was somewhat one-dimensional, as where, you know, this is far more encompassing, being on campus and working with young people and supporting Walter McCarty, who is also with the Celtics. And
yep.
you know, great player out of Evansville and University of Kentucky. And so I'm very, very, very thankful. I'm enjoying it immensely.
Well, you're back coaching, and Evansville is a program that I love the arena. I mean, I think you've got an opportunity down there to really build. You know, it's a small school. What, it's only about 3,000 students, I think. It's a small school.
Yeah, and they'd probably like to grow that a little bit, but it is, yeah, it reminds me of another school that I worked at a couple of years ago, Butler University.
Yeah.
So,
and an opportunity to win and get in, like you and I talked, how special it is for a university if you can get in the big dance, if you can, you know, win your conference tournament and get a chance to represent, and who knows what happens once you get in that situation. And I know those are probably goals of yours to try to make that happen at Evansville again.
Oh, without question. And we're going to build on a really solid foundation. I mean, they've had excellent coaching here through the years and good people, you know, and the enthusiasm, the crowds here. I mean, I used to come here back in the 80s when I was scouting. The one year I worked for Coach Sexton at Butler, I scouted, and they had Roberts Stadium then, and it was packed, and then, you know, they really had it going. And now they built the Ford Center, and it's downtown. It's beautiful. It's as nice as most any college arena that I've been to. We have a practice facility, and It's just an exciting time, and you know, it's one that when Walter called me, I told my wife how much I liked him and respected Evansville, and you know, it's kind of too bad I couldn't do it. She said, "Hey, we've done that before. If you want to give it a try, let's do it." And, so you know, with her support, I'm on my own a little bit. She's not down as much as. You know, that we'd like, but that's okay because we're, as you know, we're really busy right now.
Yeah, you're real busy. And of course, we're talking with Todd Licklider, our basketball analyst here on Catholic Sports Weekly, now an assistant coach with the Evansville Aces, teaming with Walter McCarty and also Matthew Graves, right? So that's a neat thing. Another former Butler guy. You guys are really going to make it happen down there together.
That's the plan. And we've got two other young assistants that. You know, and I've been very fortunate in my life to be able to work with such good people and people that have gone on. Matthew was the head coach of South Alabama, and LaValle Jordan at Butler, and Brad Stevens. So, you know, that's fun, too, to be around the right people. And Walter working with Brad saw the environment and the climate that, you know, we try to promote and just really embraced it. He said, you know, we just want to have a great team, a great staff that's a team, and you know, players, everybody, to have that kind of spirit about them. And you know, what he said was, you and Matthew have experienced it, I've experienced it, and we think together we can bring it to Evansville.
Yeah. So what was it about?
How can you turn that down?
No, you can't. What was it about coaching and the opportunity to teach again that just was calling you back into it?
Yeah. I think once you've done it, it's so hard to be away. Everything that it's so rewarding and so satisfying that it's just hard to be away from that environment and think that you're making a difference with young people. And it's a awesome responsibility because, you know, they're depending on you, and the fans also, you know, they've got a great interest in what you're doing. And so, you know, it's a tremendous responsibility in my opinion, but the rewards are so great.
Yeah, rewards are great, and it's great to see you back doing what you love the most. And that's what it's about. And an opportunity to teach again and to win again and just kind of enjoy what you're doing. So congratulations on that, Coach.
Hey, Will, I sure appreciate it. It's always great to speak with you. I appreciate you having me on, and hope we can continue for a long time. Maybe we can talk about NBA. I still watch it a little bit, so and then give you some college insights as well.
Well, we'll get you back on here in a couple of weeks. Great. And we'll wrap all that up. But I only got about 30 seconds here, real quickly. Cavs Pacers went to seven. LeBron just took over, didn't he? I mean, LeBron's a heck of a basketball player.
And that's what we talked about. That that's kind of what happens in the best of seven. That's why the NCAA is kind of unique in that you just win the one and move on. And, you know, a lot of times with smaller schools, if they had to play, you know, in the first round, if it was a best of seven, you wouldn't see a Butler in the Sweet 16 years ago, or, you know, some of these teams because they maybe Loyola because you get eliminated. But that's kind of the beauty of the NCAA, and that's what makes the NBA so tough, and that's why the general manager's personnel people are so vital to the coaches as far as putting their team together. Boston's really got a strong team when you look at the things that have happened there, and Brad's been able to manage that, still win, and it's incredible.
Yep, it is. Well, Todd, thank you. And again, congratulations, assistant coach of the Evansville Aces and our basketball analyst. Always proud to call you that.
Look forward to getting you down here, Will.
I'll be there.
All
right. All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We're going to take a break. Bye-bye. The Catholic Sports Weekly show wraps up right after this.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof, your building, and your investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaaroofingcompany.com.
Herding cars, trucks, homes, businesses, workshops, garages, man caves, and she sheds.
We're with you wherever you go. Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing. They have jobs, AAARoofingCompany.com. Again, great show today. Love to have Doug Bowles from the Speedway on and Todd Licklider, our basketball analyst, but now even more importantly, a new job for him. He's now an assistant basketball coach at Evansville. It is a good thing for college basketball to have Todd Licklider back on the court. Real quickly, a couple things. The Indians are home this weekend. They're home Friday, Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon. And don't forget, golfers out there, it is time to get registered for the golf outing, the annual event here for Catholic Radio Indy. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and get your foursome signed up now. It's really pretty cheap. It's only $450 to get a foursome in this show. We play it at Plum Creek. It's on May 22nd. There's a mass at 11 o'clock. The tea time around 12:30, and it will be a beautiful day. I can guarantee you that. We always have beautiful weather there, don't we? We'll say we do. Just join us on May 22nd and go to CatholicRadioIndy.org to get signed up. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Catholic Sports Weekly. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.